And that's right. Don't laugh at me. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you, better known as Big Dot, here on the Jumbo Braille program here on the Skies Radio Network, coming to you every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, all those good things tonight, because once again, we have Dr. Doug Quick with us in the house again tonight with obviously, another great message we are expecting tonight, expecting some good meat tonight, a big dinner for our spiritual soul, so we're going to get fed tonight. But right now, Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Brother Jim, Brother Quick, and a mystery guest to me.
And exactly what's the area code of that? Area code and first part of the number.
Okay, it's 216-510.
Okay, that might be 6, Ruth.
I don't know, but it doesn't have no hand up.
All right, if that's you, 6, just press number 1 so we'll know that you want to join with us. But anybody wishing to join with us tonight, just remember pressing number one. That way we can get you on. We'd be glad to have your questions, comments, or any of those good things tonight. And we're glad to be back in the saddle tonight. And tonight we're going to ask, does anybody have any prayer requests or prayer praises tonight? What do you got for us, Ruth?
Okay, we have Chrissy. She mentioned tonight she needs prayer for her seizures. Emily does not, she's been having some issues. So just keeping that as an unspoken.
Okay.
I don't feel as well tonight. I don't know what's with me, but I'm just kind of like tired. Maybe it's just weird. Something to do with my diabetes, maybe. But I just thank the Lord to still listen to everybody, and I love listen to Brother Quick. He knows I'm one of his fans. So we're going to have fun.
Okay. Okay. Of course, with me, everybody knows that I definitely could use some prayer because I put the single doctors on their toes and end up having to have a team figure out what's going on with me because when I went into the hospital this last week, I really put them through their paces because I didn't have me instead of having just a simple heart attack. No, I'm going to have something that's more complicated to make them have to work it out. You know, I just make it fun for them.
Well, honey, God's still on the throne. He'll take care of my precious.
All right. We're just checking to see if that was you and you wanted to press the number one. If so, we're going to get your mic open. Did he?
Oh, no, you got Brother Quick on. And okay, now this other person does. I don't know who they are,
okay.
So I'm going to get them.
Amen.
Yeah, everybody's on.
Okay, you are live. Go ahead. You're live. Go ahead, Six.
Okay. So welcome back. So I'm glad you're feeling better and continued speedy recovery for you. I want to pray for my family, friends, my fans, praying for the world. That covers everybody. And we have this goofy little slow drip in one of the pipes. So pray that stops. Because it's getting on my nerves. It's just a slow little drip from the pipe. So praying for that to dry up. So, Lord, fix it. Thank you. And that's it. And glad you're feeling better. That's it for me.
All right. Well, just as before we get Brother Quick to open us with prayer and get into his message, I told him that we're going to give him our Six Eyes Bible quiz and see how he does with it. Are you ready, Brother Quick?
Well, I'm ready to preach, but I don't know that I'm ready for questions and answers like that.
All right. Well, these should be fairly easy for you. I think you can handle them. Okay. The first question. Where does it say in the Bible, where does it say that God played baseball?
Well, where does it say in the Word of God that God did not play baseball?
Well, actually it does say so. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God.
Oh, now. Okay. All right.
Okay. Here's the next one for you. What is the first vegetable named in the Bible?
Well, it must be apple.
Nope. Lettuce.
Vegetable.
Genesis 1:26.
Yeah.
And God said lettuce. Create man in our image. All right. Next question. What time of day did God create Adam?
Well, why would you ask me such a crazy question as that?
Well, we wanted to see if you knew. What time of day did God create Adam?
Well, you tell me, and then I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Just before Eve.
All right. I hear
you. Okay. So far, we're getting you here. Okay. Okay, now, next one. When Noah brought the animals onto the ark, which one brought the most baggage and what did they bring? And which one brought the least baggage and what did they bring?
Well, you tell me. Then I'll tell you you're right.
The elephant brought the most because he brought a trunk, and the rooster brought the least because he only brought a comb.
Well, that sounds all right.
Well, now, here's one, Brother Quick, you ought to be able to answer. This one I know you can answer. What is the best version of the Bible according to the Bible?
Well, that would have to be God's Word, the authorized version.
Well, Exodus 28:30 tells us, the high priest had the Urim and Thummim, so we should use the Usim and Thummim.
Oh, honey, you're so much fun.
Brother Quick,
the Usim and Thummim.
Brother Quick, these are Ken's Bible jokes that he does. They don't really make any sense, but it's just his little humor before we get the show started.
All right. We're almost there. Okay, now here's one for you. Why was it such a surprise to Goliath when he was hit in the head with the stone?
Well, you tell me why it wasn't.
Well, because such a thing never entered his mind before.
Okay, then.
All right. Now, here's one, like I said, Mrs. Quick is going to love this one. She's going to definitely love this one because we could prove it from the Bible. Who in the Bible does God say does the dishes?
Speak up, girl. Come on. She's right here listening.
2 Kings 21:13. It says, as a man wipeth a dish and turneth it over. So it's the man's job to do the dishes.
All right.
So you heard it, Mrs. Quick. Now you got your husband got to do the dishes.
That's what you think.
But, hey, you got to go according to the Bible. It says, as a man wipeth a dish. Didn't say as a woman.
I hear you.
It's got Bible for it. 2 Kings 21:13. Check it out. It's right there. You've got verse to back it up. And finally, last question. In the Bible, who makes the coffee or tea?
Hebrews.
She got it. Hebrew. So you got to make the coffee too. All right, Brother Quick. Now that I had fun with you, all right, we'll turn you over to your prayer and let you get into the message tonight. Amen.
Well, I don't know if I can pray after all that business. You want me to start praying? Is that what you want me to do?
You're on.
Oh, my goodness. I'm home. I should have known I was in trouble.
I have an unspoken
request. My wife has an unspoken request. And I have an unspoken request myself. And this is dealing with our health. And that's all we can tell you on that. And so just be praying for us, and we will greatly appreciate that very much. And Brother Six, it was really good to hear your voice again. It's been a long time since I've heard from you. And I'm just glad to hear your voice on here again. I was just really getting concerned because I hadn't heard you and hadn't heard you and hadn't heard you. And I asked Brother Ken where you was at, and he says, well, I don't know. And I thought, good gracious. So I'm just glad to be able to hear your voice again this night. Brother Six, and just stay close so I can hear your voice again real soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
In
our studies, we've been studying on the subject of growing in God's grace, and we're going to keep on studying in that same thought again this night. But let me pray first for these requests. And get these under the blood. We don't want to short anybody at all of a prayer request. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given for us to be together. And thank you for letting me hear Brother Six's voice. It's just so good to hear his voice again. And I'm glad to hear Brother Ken on Thursday nights. And Lord willing, that'll be every Thursday night for a while now. And it's just good to be with these people again. I'm asking now for these prayer requests that you'd hear them and accept them of us. And we're pleading with you that you will do something according to your own sweet will with each one of these. I pray for Christy and her issues. You know all about those. We don't have to ask any questions at all because you know everything about that there is to know about them. And Sister Ruth, same thing. And Brother Ken, he just had a heart attack, and he had a team of doctors that had to come in and figure him out. And we're just glad that he's back on the show again tonight because it's just there was just something missing. With Brother Six being gone and Brother Ken being gone, and it's just good to be back with these people one more time. I pray for Brother Six Eyes and for these requests that he gave. He says everyone around the world, that would include us. We're glad that he thinks about us when he says that. And for his family, you know, everything there is that he needs. And I'm glad that you know that. I pray for my darling wife and the unspoken request that she's given and for the unspoken request that I have given, that your sweet will be ministered in each of these requests, not just ours, but every one of us has needs, and every one of us needs to hear from you. Every one of us needs your touch, that is for sure. We're just asking now that you just be with us this night and help me to have a good, clear heart and a good, clear mind as I give these thoughts this night to those that are listening. And we're just glad for everybody that's listening tonight. Just be with us now, and we'll sure enough thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing in God's grace has been our subject matter for several weeks. And Lord willing, I believe the Lord would have us to just stay on this thought for several more weeks because there's so much that hits every one of us right where we need to be hit in the thought of growing in God's grace. There is more to being saved than just words. Let me say that one more time. there is much more to being saved and know that we're saved, know that we're on our way to heaven, than just words. Paul taught justification by faith before God. James teaches us justification by works before man. Both of these things, these items, are coming from different avenues, but going in the same direction. James did not say that we could be justified by our works without God, and the Apostle Paul never taught that we can be justified by our faith without our works, because these are twins that work together in the Christian life. I want you to look in James chapter number 2 this night. Lord willing, we'll finish this chapter tonight. And it's just got such good thoughts, and I don't want to leave any of them out. Look at verse number 14 with me. Listen to these questions. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Let me stop reading right there. Listen to what James has asked here. He said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith, if he hasn't, if he doesn't have works? What benefit is there in that? I have dealt with people for many, many years, and this subject has been one of those subjects that I have dealt with people for a long time. I have had the privilege of asking men and asking women with my wife alongside me, asking them this question. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the answer would always fly back, oh, yes, yes, I do. And my next question to them was this. Well, what changed in your life, what changed in your heart the instant that you trusted Christ? That's what I got for an answer most of the time. Nothing. You see, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, yeah, I've been born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. It's easy to say those words. But there's more to our salvation than just plain words. And James is going to deal with that tonight. He says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? How can that be possible? I've dealt with a whole lot of people. I've dealt with a lot of Christians that were church members of mine through the years. And they thought that they were born again. They had the word down right. But you see, this empty faith cannot save anybody. Hello? Don't let me lose you. This empty faith cannot save anybody. Look at verse number 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, D-E-A-D, dead, being alone. You see, it takes more than just words to know that we're going to go to heaven when our heart beats the last time here on this earth. Oh, listen to me now. It is very possible to be this type of Christian in verse 14. It's very possible. I've had the privilege of dealing with a whole lot of people that had this same problem. And a whole lot of these people have died and went off into hell, never coming to the correct answer in their own soul concerning their salvation. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, is it possible to be this type of Christian? Well, look at verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what did it profit? That's just faith without works. Did you listen to what I read? Look at verse 15 one more time. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? I have been in evangelism for a little more than 38 years. We had a family of four children, three boys and one daughter. Our daughter, about 4 or 5 years ago, has left us and went home to glory. Our boys are still here. They're still working. They're still doing the things that they need to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, I would preach a week of meetings. Now, we didn't go on the road for the money. No, no. But it takes money to get from point A to point B, and everybody knows that. I couldn't tell you how many times at the end of a meeting, a pastor would come and put his hand on my shoulder and say, well, God bless you, Brother Quick. We're sure glad you stopped around here, and never give a penny love offering. I remember one time we were up, I believe, in the state of Illinois. Our boys and I had sung all that week. Come the end of the week, and the pastor came up to me and says, well, Brother Quick, it was just glad to have you here, and turned and walked away. We all did all of our stuff, got our stuff all packed back in the bus again. And I started the bus up, and I looked at my wife, and I said, honey, did anybody give you a penny? She said, no, I was just going to ask you if anybody gave you a penny. And I said, no. And we sat there with the bus idling. We didn't have the money in our pockets to get to the next place where we were booked. All of a sudden, there was a bang, bang, bang on the bus door. I opened up the bus door, and one of the preachers of that week, who's now home with the Lord, he stepped in the bus and he said, Brother Quick, I'm sure glad I caught you before you left. I just want you to know you've been such a blessing to my heart. And when he shook my hand, I knew that there was something in his hand. And when he left the bus, I looked in my hand. He had given me a $50 bill. That's the exact penny that we needed to get to the next meeting that we were going to. God always provides, no matter what. He always provides, but he doesn't always provide through everybody that claims to be a Christian. God will always provide through those who know for a fact that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Amen. You see, can this faith be good? Can there be any value here? Can there be any way that anybody can be helped this way? According to verse 16, the answer is no. There is not possible for anybody to be able to be helped with this kind of help. Well, let me ask you this question now. Let me ask you this question. Can faith save him? Well, we need to find out what faith is, don't we? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1 tells us exactly what faith is. Listen to what it says. It says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Did you listen to what I just said? Listen, let me read it to you one more time. I'm going to tell you what faith really is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, that's a good sampling of what our faith needs to be. You see, this type of faith that we're reading about here in James chapter 4, chapter 2, and verse number 14, this type of faith is dead. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1 tells us that faith is something that is alive and living within us. Be seen? Well, now, I don't want to talk about see and tell and all that kind of stuff. But can faith really be seen? I can answer that with the scripture. Brother Ken thought he was going to trick me on those questions that he was throwing at me before we got started. Can faith really be seen? Well, let me answer that with a scripture. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 9 and 10 says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Can faith be seen? Oh, yes, it can be seen. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, faith can be seen. I don't have to know if somebody really has faith because I can see faith in them. I can see it without any question at all. Well, can faith be felt? We saw here in the Word of God that faith can be seen. What about faith? Can it be felt? Faith can be felt, too. Listen to what the book of Hebrews tells us, chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. We're talking about Abraham. Listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him. Can faith be felt? Oh, yes. Abraham could feel his faith. He didn't have any trouble feeling his faith. Amen. He believed that if he would have went ahead and killed his only begotten son that God had given him, that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Now, when God stopped him and said, no, you don't have to do that. I see your heart. And then Abraham found a ram caught behind him by his horns, which means there was no blemish to that ram at all. And so he was able to take that and use that for a sacrifice instead of Isaac. Don't you know Abraham was feeling his faith? I'm telling you right now, he was feeling his faith and he wasn't having any trouble feeling it. Faith is more than just words. Look at verse 18 here in chapter 2 of the book of James. Look at verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Listen to this. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Ain't that just amazing? Works proves one's faith. We can have all the empty words that we want. Oh, yeah, I've got all the faith that I need. I've got all the faith. I don't need any more faith. I've got a whole truckload of faith right here in my soul. I mean, I just got a whole bunch of faith here. But that kind of faith ain't going to do us any good. You see, faith is more than just words. The devils believe and tremble. Listen to verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou believest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But the devils are not going to heaven. The devils have been doomed and damned to go to the devil's hell because they did not believe God. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me now. We're talking about the fact of growing in God's grace. Growing up in God's grace. And growing in God's grace means that we're going to have some faith that we're going to exercise. We're going to have some faith that we can see. We're going to have faith that we can feel. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody. I'm here to tell you we're going to have faith that's going to be just as real as the day is long. It's going to be real faith. It's going to be felt faith. It's going to be that faith that's going to help us through every trial that the devil puts us through. That faith is what's going to take us on through. Amen. You see, when I am given a prayer request, and I stop and I say, well, I'll be praying for that. I have had many prayer meetings in a Walmart store all around this nation. We would walk in, and my wife and I do as much walking as what we can every day, but we would walk in the place and get ready to walk, and somebody would stop us. Right here in the city of Waycross, we've lived here about 28 years, and everybody around here knows us. And we stopped at Walmart's to walk one afternoon, and a man in a wheelchair, he's bound to a wheelchair. That's the only way he can get around is that wheelchair. And he saw me walk in the door, and he stopped me, and he said, "Brother Quick, I've got a prayer request, and I got to have you pray for me." And I said, "Well, I'm going to pray for you right here." And I knew that people were trying to get in and around there and trying to bump us into us and trying all that kind of stuff. But we just stopped right there, and I prayed for that man. I was not a bit ashamed to stop right there in public and pray for that man. And he was not a bit ashamed to bow his head and close his eyes and listen to me pray with everybody banging into him and banging into me. It didn't matter. We had something more important than somebody coming in there to try and buy something from Walmart. We had a matter that had to be taken to God, and I didn't just say, "Well, I'll be praying for you. I'll remember that." No, I stopped right there, and I say, "I'll pray for you right here." And that same thing has happened many, many times in Walmart stores around the countryside. People would know who we are, and they'd say, "Brother Quick, I got to have some prayer. Can you pray for me?" And I have stopped right there, and I said, "I'll pray for you right now." That's the only way that they can really know that I'm praying for them. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Faith is something that's a whole lot more than just words. I'm here to tell you now, if all we've got is just words, we don't have any more than those devils in verse number 19. They know all about God. They know all about God, and yet they tremble. There's no way that they can ever get saved because they're damned. They're doomed. They're going to spend eternity in hell right along with the devil. They know all about that kind of stuff, and they tremble when they think about it and when they hear about it. If that's all you got is words for your faith, then you don't have anything more to go on than those devils in verse number 19. Let me read verse number 19 to you one more time. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." My soul. My oldest brother was in a battle for the sixth time. He'd had cancer for the sixth time. But this time, the doctors had already told him this was a very fast-moving cancer, and he wasn't going to win this battle. And he lived about 1,500 miles away from me, and it took a little bit before I could really figure out his phone number. And I finally got his phone number, and I called him one afternoon. And I called him by name, and I said, "This is Doug." He says, "I know who it is." I said, "I hear you're having a battle." "Yeah, cancer's got me," but he said, "I'm going to make it all right." I said, "Uh-uh. Hold on, Bubba. You had the same daddy that I had. My daddy was a Baptist pastor for some 40-some-odd years. And Gary, before he got married, he sat underneath that same preaching. He knew about that." And I said to him, I said, "Gary, you better get things settled up with God because you're not going to be here very long." And my own brother's testimony to me, this is exactly what he said, his exact words. He said, "Doug, I took care of all that junk a long time ago," calling his salvation experience junk. Well, that's about how he'd lived his life, was full of junk. I knew that, and he knew that. And he finally got his telephone got moved into a room where they had no phone service so that I couldn't call him anymore. The last two times that I talked with him, he hung up on me. He didn't want to hear anymore. He just hung up on me. And that's exactly how he died, in a room all by himself with no telephone near it. Oh, listen. I know where he's at. Nobody calls Jesus junk and goes to heaven. Nobody does. No, nobody does that. Nobody. But you see, the devils also believed, and they trembled. Well, Gary didn't have any trembling left in his body because he was just too busy sinning. You see, he was always just too busy sinning. Well, let me say something else here on this same thought. You see, we're looking at the fact of growing in God's grace, growing up in God's grace. Faith is more than just a little prayer. Faith is more than walking down an aisle. Faith is more than being baptized. Faith is more than joining the church and becoming a church member. Faith is a whole lot more than that, ladies and gentlemen. Real faith is proven by our works, not by our words. Verse 17 in chapter 2, let me read it to you again. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Faith is all alone by itself. That's how it is. Faith is all alone. That's what I just read. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Hello. Faith is something that is very, very real. Faith is something that can be felt. Faith is something that we can rest upon and not have a single doubt in our mind come by, because faith is something that's real. Faith is like being in a boat on a lake, wanting to go out there and do some fishing. And you get to that good fishing hole, and you throw an anchor overboard and stop it right there. That's what faith does. Faith is that anchor that we need in order to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is what that's all about. Real faith is proven by our actions, not by our attitudes. Verse number 19, listen to these words. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James asked that question right there. Wilt thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's D-E-A-D, dead. Oh, listen to me. It's going to take more than words to get to heaven. Abraham's faith. Look at verse 21 in this same chapter. Verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith was wrought by his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture being fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Oh, listen to me now. He was justified by works, not by words. His faith brought him to offer all of his hopes, which showed where his first love really rested, in the Lord God himself. You see, if all that was in Isaac was Abraham's hopes, then we wouldn't have been out anything had he went ahead and killed him. If Jesus would not have resurrected him from the dead, we wouldn't have been out anything. But you see, Isaac was that favored son, that son that God said he was going to come through and bring the only begotten son of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to come all the way back from Abraham and Isaac. Abraham had different sons, but Isaac was the promised son. And that's where your faith comes from, and that's where my faith comes from. The Christian life is the outliving of the in-loving Christ. Oh, there's another verse of scripture. Let me read this to you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am saved by faith because Jesus did something more than just talk about it. Jesus gave his all. Jesus gave his life, his very life, his blood. Jesus gave it all for every conceived person to trust Christ, to ever come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. It cost Jesus more than just his words. Well, what about Rahab? Everybody seems to know something about Rahab. Rahab was known very well in the city that she lived in. She lived in that city called Jericho. And Rahab come to know Christ. The whole town knew about it. And the whole town was brought in revival to know Christ. Look, if you would, please, now at verse number 25. Verse number 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It takes more than words to know that we're going to heaven. Rahab was known very well in her town. She was called, we just read it, she was called a harlot. She was well known in her town because that was her way of life that she made things come together. She was a harlot. She was like what we would call a whore in these days and age, day and age that we live in. And yet when she trusted Christ, she called the whole city together, came, and they heard what had happened to her, and there was a big-time revival that took place there. Oh, listen. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 can tell us a whole lot about that, but I don't want to go too far outside of James here. But let me read these verses to you. James, Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain in any man, because of you, any strength at all. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. And that's the story that she went in the city and told the whole city. Came and they listened to the prophet preach to them, and the whole city came to know Christ. You see, it took more than just words. It took some faith backing up those words. And that's what Rahab had. She had faith, but she had words to back up that faith. And Rahab's faith brought her to be found with works when she sent Joshua's men out a different way. She knew that they had to go back to where they come from, but she also knew that there had been some searchers that had left the town. And she says to these men that left, she says, I want you to go up into the mountains and stay there for 3 days. Stay there until these searchers get back in town. When they get back in town, then you go back home and tell Joshua what's going on, and we'll be waiting for you right here. Herein lies the truth of the matter of one's faith. Oh, listen to me. There is no doubt about one's body being dead. It gets cold. I had the privilege of preaching my father's funeral. My wife and I had made the trip up to be with my mother and my father before my father passed and went on home to be with the Lord. And that Monday night, I knew he was alive. I knew that God had let him look across, because Sunday afternoon when I talked to him on the phone, I could understand every word to come out of his mouth. But Monday evening when we got up there to see him, I couldn't understand one word coming out of his mouth, and he would get so excited trying to tell me different things, and I stood there and wept like a little baby, because I knew he was trying to tell me what the Lord had let him see on the other side. I knew he was trying to tell me that, but he couldn't get one word out of his mouth that I could understand. Well, I had to ask him this question several times, and the last time that I asked him the question was, "Dad, we really need to go and get to Bonnie's mother where we can spend the night and get some rest. We've got to get some rest. It's been a long trip up here." And he didn't want us to leave. Didn't want us to leave. He wanted to stay there. And the last time that I asked him that, I said, "Dad, we got to go. We got to get some rest. We'll be back in the morning, but you won't be here, will you?" And that's the only thing I understood coming out of his mouth. He said, "No." And he wasn't there the next morning. He was home with the Lord. Well, we were over there with my mother waiting for the ambulance and different ones to come and pick his body up. And I had touched his body, and his body was getting colder and colder and colder. There was no doubt. My dad was no longer there. That was his body, but his spirit was home with the Lord. There's the proof that we're looking at when we're growing in God's grace. We're looking at that warmth of our the warmth that we're looking for in our faith. Yes, we can tell when we've got it. Those around us can tell when we've got it also. I've preached for the last 48 years. The last 38 years, we've been traveling around this nation. I've had the privilege of preaching all around this nation. And I have known when it was easy to preach. I've known when it's been very difficult to preach. Those difficult nights it was to preach, I knew it. But it was those very difficult nights when it was so hard to preach, when we saw God reach down and begin to save some hard-nosed, lost people. They needed what they'd come to hear. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. But they heard it, and they trusted Christ, and it changed their lives. And before we would leave that place, these people always had more than just words to prove that they knew Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, they would weep their way up to the altar. They would weep their way back to the pew. They would get so happy, so full of joy. They would just sit there and just weep. But their face would shine so much. And that was proof to me that the Spirit of God had moved in. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have any doubt trying to get me to believe it, because I could see it. Oh, listen, God has given me the privilege of just talking with people and counseling with people. And I have listened to people cry out to God that knew they were going to hell. And I've prayed with them, and I've heard them cry out to God. And when they've gotten back up there on their feet, countenance has shone so much. I knew the Spirit of God had moved in. Oh, listen to me. growing up in God's grace is more than just words. It's more than just happy time. There's a whole lot of difficult days in every Christian's life. Difficult days will always come. The devil cannot stand for someone to trust Christ. The devil can't keep somebody from trusting Christ, but the devil just can't hardly stand it. And I know the trials and tribulations that I have been through. Oh, my Lord, I want you to know the Lord has been there and has helped me through every one of them. There's been many a time when God has brought healing to this body of mine. Many a time. I'm not home yet. The Lord has done bringing those healing times to my body because my body is still frail and there's still places where I'm going to need some healing. I know that, and the Lord knows that also. Oh, listen to me. That's the fruit of knowing Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the fruit of growing in God's grace. Knowing what God can do for me as I serve him. Now, you don't have to be a preacher of the gospel to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You don't have to be someone that stands and preaches before everybody. You can be a person that sits in the pew week after week after week. You can be someone who knows what it means to pray for those needs around you. You can be someone that knows really what it means to get down with God and pray and pray and pray until the answer comes. You can know that. You can know that. But that's all than the fact of growing in God's grace. Our Father in heaven, thank you for these moments together this night. I would plead with you that you would help us this night, each one of us, help us to understand that time that we trusted Christ to become our Savior and our Lord, there has to be some faith to back that up. We can't just stand up and say, oh, I trusted Christ on such and such a day, such and such a year. There's more to it than that, Lord. That's what I've tried to get through to people tonight. Growing in God's grace means there's going to be growing pains, most definitely. There's going to be growing pains no matter what. The more we grow, the more we're going to hurt different times. That's how it was in my physical life. That's how it's been in my spiritual life. That's how it'll be in everybody's spiritual life. Just because the trials come doesn't mean that we've lost out with God. It means that we need to stand in there and pray a little harder and stay true unto the Lord and stay there and know that God will come by and answer every plea that we have. Lord, you have answered many, many pleas of Miss Quick's and mine. We know that to be a fact. I just want to pass that on to these people that have heard me this night. Growing in God's grace is a real reality. It's something that everybody will get to know about on our way home to glory. So just speak to our hearts this night, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ken, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. Before you totally do that, Brother Quick, if anybody has any questions or prayer requests that they'd like to mail to you, would you give them your contact info?
Our address is 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Georgia, 31501. Right here in the good old United States of America. 1122 Church Street, Waycross, that's one word spelled capital Waycross, Georgia, 31501. Thank you, Brother Ken.
No problem, Brother Quick. And also, if you are more preferable to email and you'd like me to pass along any question or comment to Brother Quick, I would be more than happy to do that for you. You can email me that question or comment to feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. In the subject line, put question or comment for Brother Quick, and I will not only get that to him, whatever reply he sends back to me, I will then transcribe and get back to you ASAP. All right. Now, Brother Quick, we're going to open up the mics for any questions or comments, but I wanted to let you know myself, I appreciated the message, especially when you were talking about the point where you were talking about faith without works is dead, especially those that claim, well, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, and how they'll sit there and, oh, brother, how good this and that. And when you were talking about how they loved your message, but yet never offer a penny or whatever, I've seen that a lot of times. They talk about, oh, Brother Wolfgang, how good this and that, and how they love me, but yet how they love me and my wife, but yet sit there, watch her in a driveway with a foot of snow, and she's sitting there with a shovel and not offer to lift one finger to help clear the driveway. So we know exactly what you're talking about. So, yeah, they talk about their faith, but where is it when you got an Alberta Clipper out there or a driveway that nears to be cleared and no one comes around? So, yeah, I know exactly what you were talking about. And I was like, when you were doing that, if I would have been off of mute, you would have heard me over here, come on, Brother Quick, preach it. I mean, we was getting some good meat tonight. I mean, that was right down the alley. I was like, go on and preach. You're getting them tonight.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Ruth, who do we got tonight that may wish to ask questions or whatever?
I see Sister Emily, and I also love the preaching, too. Praise the Lord.
All right, Sister M, what do you got for us tonight?
That was a good message. I really, really needed that tonight, Brother Quick.
Thank you, sis.
Also, Brother Quick, be praying for me. Maybe after the broadcast, Brother Ken could call and elaborate on why I said that.
It's right now, just leave it as unspoken on the air, Brother Quick, but I will give you a jingle after the broadcast.
All right.
Okay. Anyone else with any questions or comments?
Kenny, also be praying for my mother and my aunt. I found out they both have my aunt has a real bad case of the flu. My mom, she's been fighting depression, wanting to get out of the rehab, nursing and rehabilitation center. So please be keeping them in prayer, too.
Okay. Well, you heard it there, Brother Quick. And
sure
is that it, Em?
Yeah, also the normal, just our first responders and medical personnel.
All right. Well, with that, I think what we'll do is let Brother Quick give us a closing prayer here, and then we got a few closing comments, and then we'll be out of here tonight.
All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given for us to be together again this night. Thank you for Brother Six just hanging around a little bit tonight, and I'm glad for that. I'm just so glad to hear his voice again. It's been some time. And then for these requests that have been brought here toward the end here, I pray that you'd be with Miss Emily, and you know everything there is about Miss Emily, where she needs prayer. She needs your hand, your touch upon her. I pray that you'd be with her mother especially. and help her in the situation that she's in. And her aunt has a bad case of the flu. We're just asking you just touch both of these ladies in a special way this night. And thank you for Brother Ken. I pray that you just keep your hand upon him. He's very much needed in the ministry that he has right here. And Brother Six needs him a whole lot. And I'm asking you just strengthen him and help him in all of that, what he has to get done. Be with us now throughout this week and help each of us to understand, no matter what it is that we're going through, you're right there with us. Brother Ken can't see anything. Brother Six can see anything. But, Lord, they can know for a fact that you're right there with them every step of the way. You've always been with me. I've not always been able to see where you're at, but I've always been able to feel you right close to me, and I'm glad for that. So just help us, and for those that have listened tonight that are unsure of their salvation, I would plead with you that you'd help them to contact Brother Ken through email or contact me through the letter, mail, and we'll just be so glad and so happy to be able to pray with them and for them. And we just want to be able to help as many people as what we can. So just be with us this night. We love you with all of our hearts. And we're just so glad to know that you love us with all of your heart. And so glad to know your heart is so much bigger than ours. So just help us to worship you, to serve you, and to go with you everywhere we go. And we'll just sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today, I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater, from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of base heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. All right, and Brother Six, if you're still with us, would you give them the information on how they could get hold of this program, be able to listen to this program and other programs here at the Six Eyes Radio Network on their smartphone or tablet?
Yes, so all you would have to do is on your Android or Apple, go to your podcast app, and in the search you want to type in Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O, and you press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. And you'll get a notification of each show before it comes on. The Six Eyes Radio Network thanks you, and please like the Six Eyes Facebook page.
All right, and if you got any other comments, Six, we'll let you close us out.
Well, great message by Brother Quick. He said it all. Good night, God bless, and we will see you next Tuesday. I'm sorry. This is Thursday.
Yep,
we'll
next,
see you
Thursday,
next Thursday,
and also we'll catch everybody tomorrow night, too.
Yes. All right, well, God bless. Good night, Brother Quick. Good night, everybody from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Take care.